Welcome back to NFL Schwitz. I'm Ben at Boy With No Job. I'm here with Victor at VWeb and Jack at Jack Not John. Today we are thrilled to bring you the second episode of NFL Schwitz dedicated to all things NFL. Fantasy sports, headlines, week by week recaps. We're going to talk about everything. First, we're going to dive into a headline. Antonio Brown accused of sexual assault by his former trainer. Boys, I'd like to open the floor. May seem like an obvious question, but we should ask it anyway. Do we think that this can hurt Antonio Brown's image more than it already has been hurt, Jack?
Well, I'd like to plug in a little fun fact. These two actually met at a Bible study at Central Michigan University. Mm-hmm. It was called the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and they were actually paired as chavruta partners.
Oh, very nice.
Yep. But the answer to your question is yes, certainly. As if it couldn't get any worse, this will obviously further tarnish Antonio Brown's image, his reputation. We've seen what these kind of events and these kind of accusations and grave mistakes by athletes have done to their careers. And I honestly don't even know if an organization like the Patriots will keep him around much longer.
Well, I mean, the Patriots have already said they're going to let things, but they're going to let the NFL investigate. And we've sort of heard this before about the NFL investigating. And, you know, there was a story surrounding Tyreek Hill this year that if they found anything, then they would crack down. The NFL takes a lot of time with this, these investigations. We saw this also with, I think it was Kareem Hunt, right? They weren't sure if they could have gotten that video. Then they finally got it. Now he's spent 8 games. The Patriots are behind him. Bill Belichick in his press conference today, where Antonio Brown was at practice, wearing number one. I mean, mm-hmm. can you get any more selfish at this point? But they're behind him. They're saying, we're not going to respond to anything legal. We're going to let this play out. Can it hurt his image anymore? Of course it can hurt his image more than just being a little biatch and everyone hating you on the team.
Hey.
I mean, what? Nobody wants him in Oakland anymore. No one wants to hear his name, and now they just have to hear his name even more. They're probably spreading more rumors about this guy. I want to see what plays out with this investigation. I'm going to be like the Patriots here in the front office. I'm going to be very formal. I'm going to say I'm going to wait. I'm going to decline to comment. I'm not jumping to conclusions. Ben is giving me a glaring look like he's already there.
No,
carved up his sentence, stuck him in a graveyard.
I just think that I just disagreed with Jack Thomas before he even jumped in. The Patriots, you're discrediting the Patriots thinking that for 1 second they had no idea that he had rape allegations against him before they signed him. The Patriots know everything. Teams know everything. If the NFL wants to claim that they didn't know anything so that they don't have to further investigate, that's on the NFL. Goodell has a long history of not wanting to say anything about anything and just letting the news cycle go through it and then everybody forgets about it. I don't think this affects Antonio Brown at all in terms of playing for the Patriots. Of course it hurts his reputation, but again, we have to see the validity behind all of these statements, and everybody's reputation can be fixed by winning a Super Bowl. So if he did not do the things that he's accused of doing and he wins a Super Bowl, everybody loves Antonio Brown. Of course, if he did the things that he's being accused of doing, he's a shithead and he won't be in the league much longer.
There is a huge difference between the NFL, the owners, the organizations knowing of some dark event like this and the public finding out. The public has now found out.
It's now.
So I hate to bring this to the NBA, but the whole Kristaps Porzingis thing when the Knicks traded him to Dallas, both teams were aware that he was being accused of rape. So we're kind of saying this is a similar instance where both teams were aware. I mean, Antonio Brown, we know he has this dark past. There's this woman who's alleging that she was raped, assaulted by Antonio Brown. It's totally different once it hits the front page and once everyone now hears about this guy. It tarnishes his image and it tarnishes the team's image.
It can't tarnish the team's image more than the there are too many things that happen to Patriots players that people don't give a shit about. A.K.A. Aaron Hernandez.
But they even did the whole they were so quick to distance themselves.
No, I know, but I'm saying the Patriots are an organization that gets into hot water. They win Super Bowls, and nobody gives a shit.
But they distance themselves appropriately because they can, because they're suited for that. They don't need Antonio Brown. We just saw this last week. If they have the opportunity to void the $15 million contract, let the schmuck walk, I see them doing that. Obviously, you also don't want to, you know, jump to conclusions. It's still very early in, you know, in the timeline of these allegations. But I do think, you know, unfortunately, there is this image that the and reputation that the team has to uphold, that Bill Belichick, although he won't admit it, has to uphold. Bob Kraft, I mean, if there's any organization that can distance themselves from a primetime wide receiver, it's the Patriots with this wide receiving core. And I wouldn't be shocked if they void that $15 million.
I like that we're completely on opposite sides of this, because I would be absolutely shocked if they voided this contract. Of course, if it comes out that he raped her, they will be the farthest thing away from Antonio Brown that second.
But I don't think it's happening tonight. No, I don't think it's happening tomorrow.
No, but so I'm saying, while it's hearsay and while there is just one side of this story, I don't think these things take, to your point, take a very long time to develop. It could be week 12 by the time there's anything concrete. Right. So right. Who knows?
No, I agree. I mean, we actually technically have a second side, because his lawyer, Darren Heitner Legal, putting out a statement. They gave a few allegations, if you will. Their side. It was very brief. They said there was something going on with an investment with Antonio Brown in, I guess it was her business project. There was some money he once gave her that went straight to a property. There was something going on, travel between Tennessee and where he was in Florida. I believe he has a home down there. We'll sort of see. But in terms of the Patriots' overall picture of this and how he's going to play, I mean, he was at practice today. He's got a jersey number. Belichick's not saying anything to the media. Bobby Kraft's not saying anything to the media. Tom Brady certainly is not going to speak. He's a smart guy. He's going to keep his opinion.
I don't know if he still wants him to be his roommate. I mean, he still wants him to be his roommate?
No, I think the roommate.
By the way, you and Bob Kraft are on Bobby terms?
Bobby. We're on Bobby.
Bobby Kraft?
Yeah, I've seen him walk in the streets of New York in a tracksuit a couple times.
Antonio, I'd love if you stayed at my home with my wife and kids after you've been accused of jizzing on a woman's back.
God, it is so fucked.
He probably doesn't want that.
It's fucked because, like, we'll admit it, we're three dudes sitting at a table. It's a little tough for us to put ourselves in this shit. Like, it's almost awkward for us to raise this.
It's beyond awkward.
You know what I mean? But,
of course.
So I want everyone to understand, this is an awkward topic. This is uncomfortable. And we can only imagine, you know, it ruins lives. So, like, whether we're being extreme, you know, whether we're exaggerating, it is a little difficult for us to, you know, put our finger on the pulse of something like this.
Yeah, because we're not women.
Yeah, no, and
we're not women who have been to this. We're not, but also men.
We are definitely not
women. Yes,
you got to be. We're not.
Yeah. I'm saying in this particular case. By the way, we were doing great.
We're still talking about it.
It's fine.
I had to throw it out.
What, without laughing? No, I mean, it also comes off the heels of the details of his deal. This $15 million deal. It came out on Monday that every week that he's on the active roster, I believe it's $300,000 or $500,000. It is a big difference.
Crunch some numbers,
Vic. Every week, that's his bonus. Those details come out on Monday. Tuesday night, we get this story. I'm not saying there is incentive one way or the other. I don't have an opinion. I'm not saying who's right or who's wrong. The timing is just a bit convenient, isn't it, to come out with an allegation. So, once again, it's not like anybody has a clear-cut standing of who's right and who's wrong. We're going to have to wait for the facts to come out. In the meantime, how do you guys think Antonio
Brown...
How do you think Antonio Brown's getting up every day and going to work?
You're saying, how do I think that this affects his play on the field?
Sure.
Do I need to...
It is his job. That's why I said
getting up, going to work. Yeah. I understand. He's not a mechanic.
Somebody's got to do it.
Okay. How do I think this affects his play on the field? I think that Antonio Brown is totally fine. They're playing the Miami Dolphins this week that just lost 59-10 to Baltimore. The spread on that game, I believe, is 19 points away, which is insane, because that means there's usually 3.5 points at home. The Patriots would be more than a 3-touchdown favorite. This is an NFL game.
In week two.
This is an NFL game. Anything can happen. This is a division NFL game, and they're favored by 19 points. I think Antonio Brown, in my opinion, has a big game. 150 yards and 2 touchdowns.
I heard.
So I don't think that affects him at all.
Belichick said he wasn't even poised to even touch the field. There was no guarantee that Antonio Brown would be suiting up, and I think if you could give him another week to learn the playbook and kind of to keep him out of the spotlight, I think you might as well do that, especially against these garbage Miami Dolphins. But they do have Ryan Fitzmagic, and you never know what that guy can do.
Like, you can't even believe you're gonna.
You never know what he's gonna pull out of that beard.
He's gonna throw a touchdown to Devontae Parker. I'll tell you that because he just chucks the ball and guys catch it and they lose by 50.
Yep, but he's also gonna throw two interceptions.
Yes,
I actually like that you brought up that Belichick said that. First of all, Antonio Brown has been regarded as having the greatest work ethic and motivation on and off the field, getting ready. So if there's anything more that could have fueled him up, it was probably Belichick saying, hey, by the way, there's no guarantee you're going to be in my huddle this week.
It's 4 days.
Dude, I'm just – you, the most motivated wide receiver, we've said it, I think, 50 times this podcast, 7 straight seasons, 100 catches. Bill Belichick's just throwing that extra inch of gasoline on the fire. Be like, yeah, you're not guaranteed a spot, even though you are – very highly regarded as the best receiver in football.
Okay, so to get on the same page, I think he plays. Jack, you think he plays or no?
No, I don't think he plays.
Vic?
I think he plays. I think he gets snaps. I don't know how many.
Okay, great. How do we think this affects the Patriots players and coaches besides Antonio Brown? This is a quick one. Vic, you.
I think when you are the Patriots, and we've talked about the Hernandez, the Flakegate, they're about to see it all in terms of politics. So I don't think this affects them at all. These are professionals. They've been a family together. Even though this guy's brand new to the squad, I think they'll brush it off and go to work, as I like to keep saying.
I agree. I think that they knew that they were getting a very emotional guy. He's been through a lot. Tom Brady welcomed him with open arms. I don't see why this would change it at all. Jack, you have anything to say before we move on?
I think it comes down to how Tom Brady acknowledges this situation. I think the rest of the team will follow suit right after however Tom handles it. So and I don't think Tom's gonna shun him and ask him to leave the team. So I think they'll move past it until they get further word, until they get, you know, as close to confirmation as you could get with something like this. So
So there were a couple of key injuries this week that we want to walk through. You might want to remove them from your fantasy lineup if you did not know for whatever reason that, beginning with Nick Foles, he has a broken collarbone, is out 4 to 6 weeks, replaced by Gardner Minshew the second out of Washington State.
The Cougars, baby.
The kid was unbelievable. Maybe you want to pick him up if you're in a deep league.
Also, if you're looking for a guy with a sweet stash, he does look like Dirk Diggler from Boogie Nights, so I highly recommend it. That's one of my pickups for the week. He's going for about pennies on the dollar right now. So I like Gardner Minshew also. It doesn't hurt to take a guy with the first name Gardner.
Pennies. And that stash is very Adam Morrison.
It's unbelievable.
It's very, for lack of a better term, gross. More injuries. Tyreek Hill, very sad. Broken collarbone as well. My God, the collarbones.
It's the case, it's the case of the broken collarbone.
It's a tender bone.
It is a tender bone. I mean, pick up anybody on the Chiefs offense that's available.
Slick, I know who you like. Say it loud, say it proud.
McCole Coleman?
McCole Hardman.
McCole Hardman. I was thinking Macaulay Culkin. McCole Hardman. This guy played 53 out of 59 snaps this past week. He did only have one look, but apparently that doesn't matter. He's a speedster. I think he ran like a 4.35 or a 4.43. Let's just average out and say he ran a 4.39.
They actually called him one of the slowest wide receivers in the NFL.
Okay, they did. He's not. Who's they? Who's they? The government? No, I mean, really? What are we talking about here? But yeah, real tragedy, and I alluded to it before, but you know, Tyreek Hill, it's apparent that at any point the NFL could come back and investigate that whole, was it girlfriend, wife situation?
I think it was a wife with the kid.
And disciplining the child. So I wonder how that plays out. Not that that really matters. I mean, let's get him healthy.
It seems like every single person in the, and it's not just the NFL, pro sports, people have skeletons. People have lives. People have people that hate them. And things come up and things die back. And when things are real, they present ahead. And when they're not real, they end up going back in.
I mean, everyone has skeletons, let's be real, but
but they're in the spotlight, I'm
exactly
saying.
And I do think maybe people are more incentivized to come out with these kind of things when you are on the spotlight and you have so much to lose.
And whether they're true or not, we're not going to say one way or the other.
Getting back to this, we don't know.
Whether it's true or not.
Moral of the podcast, we know nothing.
We know nothing, but we're about to give you our picks, so spend all the money you got on what we're saying.
Absolutely nothing. Moving on. Hunter Henry. Tibia? What is it?
Tibia.
Tibia? Plateau.
Tibia plateau.
What is it? Tibia plateau.
It just means the top of your tibia, which basically means your knee.
Okay. fractured knee, out 4 to 6 weeks. By the way, it's all 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, well, there's everything a certain time. 4 to 6 weeks.
You either get first sprain, it's like 2 to 4, and then you get everything else 4 to 6. Yeah. Broken face, 4 to 6.
Yeah, so Hunter Henry, who's his backup?
Is it
Antonio Gates?
No, he's not on the roster, but there were rumors swirling that they're going to pull him out of, I think he's hanging down in Cabo. Zeke gave him his little hideout spot. And they may pull him back on the roster.
Antonio Gates,
the ageless wonder, maybe getting a call.
Speaking of an ageless wonder, did you guys see Mercedes Lewis catch multiple
balls still this week in the league?
He's 38.
He was
a 38-year-old tight end.
He was the oldest guy in NFL Blitz 2000. How is he still in the game?
I have no idea. Mercedes Lewis is
good for him. On the Jaguars for 22 years.
Jaguars 22. I think now it's the
Colts.
No.
I just know he caught a bunch of balls. I don't know where he is.
I don't even know, but I mean, I feel for Hunter Henry. You talk about a guy who tore his ACL last season, but here's the one thing. He tore his ACL. Just remember, it took him 8 months to recover from an ACL, and he actually played in that Patriots divisional round game. So the timetable's 4 to 6. Just think, maybe he's got an impeccable bone structure, and he'll be back out there in 4 weeks. And Jack and I certainly hope so, because we took him. Was this the second straight year? Three out of four years.
I think it's 3 out of 4 years. I'm always high on Hunter Henry. I'm not sure why. Maybe it's because his face, it just fits up the whole, you know, profile pick on like Yahoo Fantasy.
Great
his face
jawline.
Just him and Ben Roethlisberger. Their whole face just fits up the entire profile pick. It's like I want, that's a football guy.
He looks unbelievable.
He looks like he's stuffed like a bunch of like cheese balls in his mouth and they took
he's a full man.
Yeah, he's a full football
it's,
guy.
It's also probably because you share a team with Victor and Victor just has these guys like, oh, Hunter Henry, Hunter Henry.
Oh, we saw we took him in our league.
Of course we did. There you go. Hunter Henry. Darius Geis from the Washington Redskins meniscus injury misses a few weeks. Hello.
Adrian Peterson.
I was going to say Antonio Peterson. Hello, Adrian Peterson. That guy can still run between the tackles.
Definitely.
And it's a great pickup in any league.
It's sad because Geis was great in college, got injured. Yeah.
And he's young now.
He's super young, and he was poised to have a nice breakout year. But a few weeks, he'll be back, and he'll be running for those Redskins.
Which of these teams is most hurt by their player's injury? Foles, Tyreek Hill, Hunter Henry, Geis, Vic.
I will say, I'm going to say the Chargers. You had all these expectations, a lot coming from me. First, you don't have, and I'm sure I'm not the only person out there, but.
Self, not the only one at the table.
I'm not the only one.
Break.
You don't have the safety. Is it Sanders? What's his name?
Edwards. On the Chargers?
No, what's his safety? I'm blanking on his last name. In the secondary, he's injured. They don't have him for about 8 weeks.
He went to Florida State.
I'll move on. When Jack gets the name, he'll throw it out there. You have Melvin Gordon in this ridiculous holdout stage that nobody seems to care about anymore.
Nope.
Because they have Eckler. It's like, great, like now we have a running back.
No, and
because
it's old news.
Right, and then you lose the guy who you said, oh, he had an ACL tear, but here he comes, ready to go.
Derwin James. Safety out of Florida State.
When I say I went from Sanders to Edwards, James is my next guess. Jack, what team are you looking at here that's really just really hurting from this injury?
I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I think anytime you lose your number one wide receiver, especially when it's Tyreek Hill, a guy who could, you know, rip off an 80-yard touchdown any play, it hurts. And I'm not a true believer in this Sammy Watkins that just went up for 198 and 3 scores. I'm just not. I think Travis Kelce is a great tight end. But Mecole Hardman, I mean, it's just not doing it for me. Yeah, it's nice that they took LeSean McCoy to help out with pass catching and you know, in the running back. But I think it's going to be an uphill climb. But they're super talented. But I just think he's just the biggest loss on that list.
I think that it's definitely Nick Foles. The Jaguars have been on the brink of doing something good for the last couple of years. They almost beat the Patriots. Was that last year or 2 years
ago? 2 years ago. You're still
2 years
stuck.
Ago? Yeah, I'm still. Yeah, I'm still stuck in that.
Bortles.
But Blake Bortles was a really, really terrible quarterback, and you finally got who seemed to be your guy, and he's out. So maybe Gardner Minshew can come in and do some things, but that defense looked terrible too. So Who really knows?
It comes down to whether you believe in Minshew or not. And me, myself, I'm a Minshew
You're
guy.
You're a Minshew guy.
Minshew's men.
All right. Yeah, I like that. Minshew's men.
We're all Minshew's men.
I could believe in Minshew. Let's recap NFL Week 1 in case you guys missed it. Let's talk about who was the most impressive in Week 1. Vic, beginning with you, what one team was the most impressive in Week 1 that surprised you?
It'll be a cop-out, but I'm going to go with the Dallas Cowboys. You have question marks, the media swirling, not as bad as Antonio Brown, but you have all these problems, issues. Are they going to pay somebody? Are they not going to pay somebody? You got Dak, you got Cooper. They all just shut up. They all just shut their mouths. They went out there. They played smash-mouth football. Zeke with his quote-unquote 20 to 25 touches, even though he was apparently out there for like almost 40 snaps. And Cooper looked phenomenal. Dak Prescott, a perfect passer rating. My goodness. When Zeke is in full form, I don't even want to know what this team's going to look like, because I think this Super Bowl's all wrapped up and is on a silver platter for these guys.
Kellen Moore's got these guys playing some football right
Boise
now.
Boise State,
it's unbelievable.
Baby.
He's the quarterback. He's the Dak whisperer.
I mean, I don't want to debate it too much because I want to get to each of our opinions, yeah. But they did play the Giants.
Definitely.
So let's just keep that in mind. I'm not saying that they're not great,
right.
But they did play the Giants. Jack?
I'm actually going to go off on a limb here because I'm actually taking a losing team. I think the Indianapolis Colts, super impressive. I mean, Luck retired, what is it, like 2.5 weeks ago, and everyone was just like, mm-hmm. Write this team off. They're done. Jacoby Brissett, he can't make it. He's been a backup his whole life. And he goes out and signs a pretty big deal. What was it, 2 for 30? And he goes out. 21 for 27, 190 yards, 2 scores. And what I thought was even more impressive is because I immediately had written off Marlon Mack, and this guy was an absolute horse. I mean, over 170 yards, a score. T.Y., who I thought wouldn't get any touches, he has 2 scores. I mean, don't write this team off just yet, because that defense has been good in years past. The O-line is as good as any other team. And I also let your boy, Devin Funchess. I mean, they've got some guys on that team. Do I think they're going to go as far as we did when they had Luck? Probably not, but I think Jacoby Brissett's a little better than we might have thought.
I think that's a good call. It's so tough to now. I'm going to go with the Vikings. I think that this is the year of the Minnesota Vikings.
Wow.
They have figured out that Kirk Cousins is a bad quarterback. And what do you do with a bad quarterback? You run the ball and you rely on your defense. He had 10.
Unbelievable.
He had 10 attempts last week. 10 attempts. And they just ran it down their throat with Dalvin Cook.
Who's a beast.
And their offense, and their defense absolutely shut down a Falcons team that everybody thought this offense is back and firing. And again, week one, who knows? But it seems like the Vikings are going to rely on their defense that's very, very good, rely on their run that's very, very good, and make sure that Kirk Cousins doesn't make too many mistakes.
I agree. Also, what I saw was that Adam Thielen was incredibly high on Dalvin Cook, which is kind of like obvious, but when Adam Thielen, who last year, signed a huge deal after this career year and just goes out and says, this is how we're going to win games, it's by running the ball with the best running back in the NFL. That's pretty encouraging as a Viking player and fan. I mean, they're coming together and they're buying into the game plan.
I agree. On the flip side, let's talk about some disappointments. Vic, who was your most disappointing team from last week that you think needs to hit the panic button?
It's always funny with this week one. Obviously, I think we can all
we're
agree
going
that
to say
it's all with a grain of salt.
That the Dolphins definitely need some work. But, I mean, the team I'm going to look at is the team everyone was most excited about until Zeke Elliott decided to come back, and that was the Cleveland Browns. And you have Baker Mayfield, OBJ, Jarvis Landry, Nick Chubb in his second year, Freddie Kitchens taking the reins. Freddie Kitchens, baby.
Kitchy.
The defense was, a lot of people predicted, was well in the top five by the end of the year. I mean, you toss up a stinker, absolute stinker at home to the Titans. Lay an egg, 43-13. You get absolutely embarrassed. Baker Mayfield, what did he throw? 3 picks? 2 picks?
He threw a lot of picks.
Whatever it was.
He threw a lot of picks.
They looked god-awful, horrendous.
3 picks.
They had the whole team behind him and came out, put up a dud. I don't even know what to say because I actually thought the Titans were going to be the worst team in football this year.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
I like the Titans.
Their defense looked amazing last year. Derrick Henry figured out that he was a running back.
Last, like, 7 weeks, he was, like, a top three
running back. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but there was nothing...
You thought they were going to be terrible?
Yes.
I didn't.
Shame. Below average.
Shame.
Not shame. Mariota hasn't proven himself. Derrick Henry, yes, he woke up and crawled out of bed for the last 3 weeks.
Corey Davis
showed me nothing last year, and Delanie Walker's on his last legs.
Come on, dude. Just because we dropped him in our other league and he had two touchdowns.
I know, but he had a horrible injury last year. I didn't see the weapons. I
love Delanie.
I'm not a believer in Mariota, and I just thought this team would be at the bottom of the barrel. Turns out the roles are reversed. I have no idea what's going on. I woke up in an alley, my pants around my ankles.
That was you?
And I said, why? What happened to the Cleveland Browns?
You had throw up all over your face.
What happened to the Cleveland Browns?
Jack, you. Most disappointing.
I'm going to go with the Atlanta Falcons. You signed Julio Jones to a massive deal. You signed Matt Ryan last year to a massive deal. I mean, what the fuck is going on? You get one sack on Kirk Cousins. Matt Ryan throws two interceptions. You look at Julio Jones's stat line, and it's like, why doesn't this guy get the ball every fucking time? And as a Falcon, if I were a Falcons fan, I'd feel most comfortable when Mohamed Sanu's throwing the ball. Like, what is going on with this team? Three years ago when they lost to the Patriots, they were this explosive offense. Nothing has changed. If you're telling me it was Tevin Coleman who was the secret sauce, then go fuck yourself.
Not a chance.
I don't know what the fuck I'm looking at. Ito Smith is the leading rusher on the team.
By the way, of course he is. Because every single backup for the Falcons
always
comes and steals Devonta Freeman's touchdowns.
Well, I think who for some reason, and I hate him because he went to FSU, I think he's really good. Maybe it's because of every graphic that he's in on all these sites. He looks like he's racing past the defender and getting into the end zone. You're right. Tevin Coleman was great. Ito Smith is now going to be a stud. And Matt Ryan had more fucking yards than Devonta Freeman.
Yeah.
I mean, as he should have, but we'll
but we digress. So tough. Who needs to hit the panic button? I guess I'm going to say the Denver Broncos. I didn't think that they would suck. I think that they're going to suck. I think that their offense is not good. I think Joe Flacco is not good. I think that he's a worse version of Kirk Cousins. And Philip Lindsay did not look great. I'm not saying that he's not going to look great. I think he will. It was week one. But I think that the Broncos are – I thought that they would be decent.
And they hired Vic Fangio, who was the coordinator for the Bears last year and led that amazing Khalil Mack-led defense. You might say it was the players.
Seems like you need Khalil Mack.
You're right. They had lofty expectations. They had good expectations.
They expected to go 500.
Elway said that Flacco's entering his prime. I mean, you don't say that.
Entering his prime now instead of when he said I'm an elite quarterback 6 years ago.
How about when he won the Super Bowl? Was that not his prime?
Yeah, that was definitely his prime. He's definitely over the hill. And yeah, I don't see this Broncos team doing much. Moving on to week two, who needs a win this week the most? I'm going to steal this first. The Pittsburgh Steelers. They got absolutely shat on by the Patriots. That was one of the saddest games I've ever watched in my life.
I didn't even need to watch it.
Especially because I was on this podcast last week and I said, the Patriots do not cover in the month of September. Sell your house, take the money, shove it in a bag, go to Vegas, and put your whole briefcase on the Steelers plus six.
I want that soundbite on repeat for the rest of the
life. And they just got absolutely demolished. So I think that the Steelers need to come out. Who are they playing this week?
The Seahawks.
Okay.
At home.
So that's a big game. It's a tough game. And if they lose this game, they're officially in trouble. And they could lose this game.
Definitely.
They could. But the Ravens are off and running.
They probably will.
They could, yeah. Who knows?
They should.
And they need to win. They need to win. Actually, the Seahawks looked so bad against the Bengals this week. They almost lost to the Bengals.
I still think that same Seahawks team from yesteryear will come around. But my team is the Houston Texans. I mean, you lose a heartbreaker on primetime, and I think right now you see what the Titans just did to the Browns. The Colts aren't as bad as we thought. Jacksonville kind of sucks. But I think you got to win this one. You might look at it as a cupcake against a division rival in the Jags, but I think you're at home. You got to take care of business, and you got to protect the quarterback. You got to protect that man because Watson's too good, too valuable. You got to make sure that he's protected. The defense has to be better. J.J. Watt took 100% of the blame on himself and the rest of the defense. But I have had lofty expectations for this team, as I think we all did.
I still do.
Yeah, but I think you lose this in division, it's a game you got to win.
They got to win this game.
You got to win this game, especially after that heartbreak. It sends a message when you bounce back.
But you can't fault them for losing the home opener at the Saints. Like, that was a great...
No, I don't. I don't.
I'm with you. They need to win this
game. But you got to win this. You got to bounce back the right way. Yes. Bill O'Brien has to do something right. I don't see Field Yates getting on the field anytime soon, Bill. So, unfortunately, you got to run with Deshaun Watson. But protect the guy.
I believe it is the Carolina Panthers. You play such a close game against the Rams last week at home. Rams, who are Super Bowl contender, who will be for years to come. Cam Newton, who apparently had no limitations, wouldn't be held back. Ron Rivera says we're all systems go. He's got weapons. He's got McCaffrey. He's got Curtis Samuel. He's got DJ Moore. Greg Olsen all of a sudden is healthy. And they lose by 3. It was a heartbreaker. You now have the Bucs at home. This is an in-division game. And it's Thursday Night Football. Everybody's going to be watching. If you're to lose the first two games at home, one of them being a division matchup, I think you're just in real deep trouble because if you think about it, you know, having those first two games at home is supposed to be like a comforting feeling. You're supposed to think, okay, we're going to get one of these. We're going to have our crowd behind us. You lose this one, you fall behind in the division. The Bucs would now have a leg up on you. The Saints are already 1-0. The Falcons, if they somehow win Sunday Night Football, then you're really in trouble. So I think Panthers, especially because Cam Newton was absolutely atrocious. Granted, McCaffrey did very well. And
McCaffrey did incredibly.
He's did incredible.
He could be the number one back in the NFL.
Second.
Could be.
Saquon. But continue.
No, I mean, I've all I need to say. I'm a huge Cam Newton supporter.
You're a huge Riverboat Ron guy.
I want to see him be Superman, who we've become accustomed to knowing with the fun celebrations in the end zone. They did move the ball really well, and you lost by 3 to the Rams. I don't think, you know, this isn't the Falcons status, where you lose 28-12 and, you know, you...
Suck dick.
Yeah, right. You produce nothing on the field. They have something to take away from losing to one of the better teams in football, but you have that second home game. You're on a short rest. This is a big one. You can pull it off, and then you have the break, and you have 10 days to get gathered for week 3.
Cam Newton did play like ass, though.
He did, but he got them within goal line three times.
No, I know. So I agree with you that they
And if you lose by the Rams to 3, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world.
Absolutely, and I'm happy that you brought up the Panthers because this is a perfect segue to go into our week 2 slate where we're going to pick all of the games this week, take it with a grain of salt, but there are a couple that we really, really like, and we'll dive into them, beginning with the Panthers Bucks game. This is the Buccaneers at the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers are a 6.5-point favorite. The over-under is 49. And I'm so happy you brought up the Panthers because I think this is the sketchiest line of the week. I think that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are fucking terrible. And the fact that the Panthers aren't even a touchdown favorite at home is crazy.
I mean, that's basically touchdown.
But it's not. You know it's not.
Well, if they touchdown means you're covering.
Yeah. Covering. I mean, based on how sketchy the spread is, I like Tampa plus 6.5 in the under. The over-under is 49. I like Panthers plus – sorry. Like Tampa Bucks? Plus 6.5 in the under, Jack.
I think you're nuts. Give me the Panthers of Carolina. What is it? Pound on? Pound forward?
Keep pounding.
Keep pounding. Mike Evans hobbled with an ankle injury. Jameis Winston still stealing crabs. Give me bounce back Cam, DJ Moore and the boys. Hopefully Greg Olsen sees the field, but I like the Panthers, and give me the over.
I actually think that the line isn't sketchy, and they're taking basically what I just said, which is that you lose at 3 at home to the Rams. The Buccaneers, they lost by 14 of the Niners in Tampa.
And they just
swung
the ball.
And they gave up 31. Jimmy Garoppolo coming off. Did he also have an ACL surgery?
Last year.
Aren't the Panthers a 9.5-point favorite?
Because you can't give a team that lost 10 points.
You can't.
And to the thing we keep saying is we're only in week 2.
Yeah, the Houston Texans are an 8.5-point favorite at home to the Jaguars. That's over a touchdown.
The Jaguars just lost Nick Foles. So and the Texans lost by 3-2. 3 or 2. They lost three. by 2. 3. to the Saints. No, Texans. There's three. Two.
Whatever.
God damn it, it was two.
So you like the Panthers?
I like the Panthers, minus 6.5. I think we are going to see a bevy of points. I'm thinking 48-31.
Ooh.
Carolina Panthers.
Wow.
Cam Newton, 4 touchdowns, 2 on the ground.
McCaffrey's going to have a day as well.
McCaffrey, 150 yards.
So you're telling the people to take the alternate over?
Yeah.
Move that puppy.
If it so
up.
Dares them, I just think that they're due to explode. And if the Bucks give up 31 at home to the Niners,
I say double the spread.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. All right. The rest of them we're going through quickly. Victor, starting with you, throwing it back around. Colts at the Titans. Titans minus 3, over under 45.
I think this is a total letdown game for the Titans after their win against the Browns. I've taken Colts plus 3. If you're a smart bet at home, you move that puppy over to 3.5. Just in case. And I say under. Real defensive battle.
I like that too. I like the Colts plus 3 and the under. Colts defense is good. Much better than that Browns defense from last week. So
I think that you guys are Titan haters. I think that the Titans are great. I like Tennessee minus 3 at home. And I will also take the under. Throwing it back around. Chargers at the Lions. Chargers minus 2.5. Over under 48. Jack.
I think this is a tough one. The Lions just tied it with the Cards, but I think the Chargers are pretty good. Even without Hunter Henry, I think Mike Williams is out. Give me the Chargers, minus 2.5, and they know how to score, so the over.
Yeah, I mean, granted the Chargers only won by 6 against the Colts, who once luck was out of there, no one had expectations. However,
overtime.
If you tie in overtime by 6, yep. If you tie with the Arizona Cardinals, and I think they were actually up like 27-7, absolutely crumbled. You're not going to be ready for a fired-up Chargers team playing for their boy Hunter Henry, everybody else who's injured, Melvin Gordon with the holdout, and
Eckler.
I say over, though.
Good. Are you confused by this being rapid-fire?
Yes.
Good.
Are you confused?
That's fine.
Go.
I am 100% on the Chargers. And I don't think that the Lions score very much. I'm going to go Chargers in the under in like a blowout. Chargers win by 14 plus. Fun fact, very quickly, I know I just cut you off before. The Detroit Lions, the only chance that they ever have of winning is week 1. Last year, remember, Lions, Jets, they absolutely demolished the Jets. I just feel like the Lions.
No. Jets
was it the opposite?
Completely the other way around.
So complete other way around.
Sam Darnold.
Lions suck all the time. Next game, Bills at the Giants. Buffalo is a 2-point favorite in. Wow, did they just sleep here? Good
yeah.
for that.
Yeah,
they're staying.
Yeah, it's dope.
Manhattan bound. And the over-under is
I'm housing 40, Josh Allen. He's staying on my couch.
44. Who are you, Brady? Jack. Who you
come
got?
On, come all. I'm going the Bills. The defense is for real. Josh Allen is pretty solid. Last time I checked, Gardner Minshew isn't wearing Giants blue, so I like the Bills minus 2, but I like the under because this is going to be a stinker.
I'm with you. I think the Bills get the MetLife sweep done. I don't know if this has ever happened. And coincidentally, they're all within the state of New York, so it would have been a 40-minute flight anyways.
It's underratedly their town.
Yeah.
This is a Bills town.
It's a Bills town. Everyone in New York's rooting for the Bills. Bills minus 2, under 44, that MetLife sweep.
I think that the Giants find a way to get it done.
It sounds like a real Giants
so
fan
classic.
Talking there.
Yeah, it also
real
so
excited. Giants
it also sounds like a real classic two Jets fans over here. Oh, if the Jets lost to them, of course the Giants.
You gotta root on for your division.
We're Bills Mafia guys.
Good. The Bills are a good team.
Great,
I think that
phenomenal.
I think that the Giants find a way to pull this off, and that the game goes in the under. So Giants plus 2 in the under. Moving on. Arizona Cardinals quickly at the Baltimore Ravens. Baltimore minus 13.5, total 47. Victor.
Jesus Christ. Once again, the Cardinals getting no respect. Baltimore over. I guess the Ravens are going to hit every over by themselves this year.
Jack.
I like the Cardinals plus 13.5, but I do think Baltimore wins by like 10, 11. Give me the over.
I'm with you, Jack. I like the Cardinals plus 13.5. Kyler Murray, that guy knows how to backdoor a spread. I think, again, they win by 10 or something, but I don't know if they cover 2 touchdowns. Definitely over 47. Swing it back around. New England Patriots at the Miami Dolphins. The Patriots have now been bet up to 19.5. Over-under is 48, Jack.
I think this is a subtle revenge match for the new Dolphins head coach. And the Patriots players I like the Patriots. It's juicy as hell. Go out there and steal the city of Miami. I like them by over 3 scores. Tom Brady does his thing.
Yeah, Antonio Dolphins. Brown, no Antonio Brown. I don't really give a damn. Until the Dolphins can show me that they can hold you to under 40 points, I'm not betting on you. Give me the 3-touchdown spread, over 48. I think the Pats top the Ravens and get 66 this week.
66. Holy smokes.
What do you think this is? Oklahoma, Texas, 2015?
That's what they made it look like.
I mean, the Dolphins are really bad. I definitely like the Pats to cover 3 touchdowns also, especially losing in the fashion that they did to the Dolphins last year on that last second kick return touchdown to break their hearts.
Yeah.
The Pats want to
I kind of like the under just because I don't know where the Dolphins are going to get any points.
They might not score. They might not score.
That'd be really sad for Flowers.
Take the Patriots team total.
Brian Flowers. Yeah, Brian Flowers. Right?
Yeah. Yeah,
see, that's where, you get into this whole other category.
Of course you do.
Yeah, the just, team that just take the 3 touchdowns.
Fine.
When was the last time you ever said, just take the 3 touchdowns?
Just take, literally 3 touchdowns.
I said it about Georgia playing McNeese State last week.
Also said that about UT Martin, and they played Florida pretty good.
The Cowboys at the Redskins. Dallas is a 5-point favorite. Over-under is 47.
You take this first because it.
Why? There's an order to these
But I know where you're going with this, and I like it.
I like the Redskins to win outright. I think ditch the points. The Redskins are much, much better than people think. Case Keenum is a capable quarterback. He's not great, but he is capable, and they did enough at Philly last week. I know it was one half of football, and they ended up blowing it, but I think that Philly is better than Dallas. Redskins, home opener, division game. Give me the Skins, and give me the under.
I'm sorry, did you just say that the Redskins are better than the Dallas Cowboys?
No. I did not say that
all. What did you say?
I said a lot of things. Were you listening or were you
No, the one thing I heard was I think the Redskins are better than the Cowboys.
No, I said that the Eagles are better than the Cowboys. Okay. And that the Redskins played the Eagles pretty well, and now it's their home opener.
Either way, Dallas is rolling in this one. I don't even think it's going to be close, to be honest with you. I think we'll have a nice high-flying shootout. Give me Dallas, -5 in the over. Zeke and the boys, let's roll.
I like the Cowboys to win, but I think I'm going to go Redskins +5. I like Brett Maher kicking a late field goal to put it away. Watch out for Mr. Maher.
The mayor's in town. Jaguars at Texans. Texans are an 8.5-point favorite, over under 44. Jack, to you. Quick.
I love Gardner Minshew, but I think this is all Texans. I think they get to him at will. I think they put this one away handedly. Give me the over and the Texans with the points. Giving points.
Yeah, definitely going over. Texans, I think, are coming out.
Big time.
Yeah, oh yeah, big time, because they're pissed, because they let that one get away in New Orleans. I think they cover handedly and in the over.
I think that the Jacksonville Jaguars were absolutely embarrassed last week, and I'm still not giving up on that defense. I think that the Texans win this by a touchdown, but give me Jacksonville +8.5 in the under. I think that both defenses have something to prove after giving up over 30 points last week when they're pretty damn stout. Seattle Seahawks at Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers are a 4-point favorite, total of 47. Jack.
That Pittsburgh team last week was so bad, and I do think they've got a lot more heart than they showed, but I think the Seahawks are going to win this one outright because they've got something to prove as well. Give me the over, but I like the Seahawks taking this one.
Yeah, people like to always point out that when a West Coast team is like a 1 p.m. start, that automatically means like
they've never been to the East Coast before.
And like that doesn't shake Russell Wilson. It's not shaking Pete Carroll, not shaking Bobby Wagner. Yeah, I think that +4 is a gimme. Go for the money line. I do say under. I think we're looking at like a 20-14, 20-17 game.
I have to agree that I would take the Seahawks +4 and the under. It's just weird because I think that the Pittsburgh Steelers are a capable team, but this is a very tough matchup for them. So I would definitely take the points, and if the Steelers squeak out a win, they squeak out a win by 3.
By the way, really tough start for the Steelers.
It is it's a bad schedule.
Into Foxborough and then get the Seahawks like after they were on the East Coast. It's not like they're just flying, right?
Yeah.
Weren't they just in Cincinnati?
You know what? They have enough veteran players to shake that game and just say, look, it was week one. We can do it. I don't think they will, but they definitely have the voices in the locker room to get people straight.
Yeah, that defense just, I don't know. It wasn't that great.
No.
I mean, we could be, of course, New England is incredible, but whatever. Moving on. San Francisco 49ers at the Cincinnati Bengals. Bengals are a 1.5-point favorite, and the total is 45. Jack, to you.
But this is one of, like, the most blah games of the week to me. You know, Tevin Coleman's out. Matt Breda gets the starting nod. Who's Jimmy Garoppolo at this point? But I like Zach Taylor and the high-flying offense in Cincinnati. John Ross has some wheels under him. Gio Bernard getting the start. Give me the Bengals with the under.
I actually think the 49ers carry their momentum, although we'll call it a lowly Bucks squad. You put up 31 on the road week one, and once again, a West Coast team traveling to the East Coast. I don't know if they stay on the East Coast to stay on the time zone, whatever, but give me the Niners. Breda has a huge game with no Tevin Coleman. Jimmy G plays a conservative, plus 1.5, and I will say the under 45.
Give me the 49ers as well. Everybody forgets that before Jimmy Garoppolo got injured, he was the hottest quarterback in football. His connection with George Kittle is unrivaled from quarterback to tight end besides Patrick Mahomes. And the Cincinnati Bengals caught the Seahawks sleeping. The Seahawks thought that they could absolutely murder the Bengals. It wasn't true. Give me the 49ers and the over because I think that neither of these teams have actual great defenses.
Fun fact, Cameron Brait of the Bucks and George Kittle of the Niners last week each had 2 touchdowns that were called back. So
there you go. Oh, so
let's see what happens. Yeah, it's a tight end connection.
It's a game of inches.
It's a game of tight ends.
Oh, excuse me. Minnesota Vikings at the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay -3 over 44. Vic.
Our last game of the 1 p.m. slate. I don't know how there are 10 games. Scott Hansen's going to have his hands full on NFL Red Zone. But, you know, I'm sold on the Packers. I think you go into Chicago last week, you carry that momentum. Green Bay -3. Once again, you're at home, shifted to 2.5. And give me the under. Both defenses looking primed. Green Bay Packers apparently underrated defense. I wasn't expecting it.
I like the Vikings. I think this team's for real. I'm a little weary about how Aaron Rodgers will play. Devontae Adams was a little quiet. Aaron Jones stunk. Give me the Vikings and the over. Run, ground and pound.
Yeah, I'm with you. Give me the Vikings and the over. I think that the Green Bay Packers ran into a Mitchell Trubisky car bomb. Guy absolutely sucked. And Matt Nagy should have thought.
Mitchell Trubisky
car bomb. The guy was both drinking them and in them. And Matt Nagy should have been fired for
Sounds
his
like
decisions
a weapon.
On fourth down last week. So he still has his job, but the Vikings over the Packers. The 4 p.m. slate, Kansas City Chiefs at the Oakland Raiders. Kansas City is a 7.5-point favorite, over under 53. I'm going to steal this quickly. The Chiefs are going to win by a ton. I think that they are so overrating the fact that the Raiders beat with the most emotion ever the fucking Denver Broncos. Give me the Chiefs -7.5 and over 53 because never should you ever take an under in a Chiefs game. Jack.
I think you're crazy for sleeping on Darren Waller and Derek Carr, but I, too, will go Chiefs by over 2 scores. I don't think there's going to be that same emotion. Back-to-back games in Oakland, yikes. Chiefs big.
You know what I never understood? Why are the Chiefs in the AFC West, and why are the Colts in the AFC South? They're both in the Midwest.
Yep.
I've been trying to find this out for years, and it just came out. It came to my mind. I had to say it. I had to get it off my chest.
Send one of those like really messy handwritten letters to Commissioner Goodell, and he'll respond like, "Hey, I'm Victor. I'm a 9-year old.
Tennessee. Will. Can you write me something back?
Thank you for your note."
But seriously, it doesn't make any sense. We need to get another team out west. And
you think of what I'm thinking?
I will. I'm going to go ballsy with you. I'm going to take the Raiders +7.5. They haven't left the city of Oakland.
He didn't take them +7.5. Are you on this podcast?
You just said the
no,
Raiders.
No, he didn't. He was joking. He literally said, I'll take the Raiders. Kidding. I'll take the Raiders.
I didn't even say that. I said, you're sleeping on Derek Waller, but I too will do the same.
Darren Waller. +7.5. They haven't left the city of Oakland in 9 days. At that point, it will be.
Great. They've just been sitting on their couch doing drugs. They're fucked.
Look, they've had time to get ready, and they've had all this time to build this chemistry. Without Antonio Brown, I think they get it done. I think the Chiefs actually very narrowly covered last week. If you saw what was going on, the Jags gave him a hell of a fight. And if the Jags gave him a hell of a fight, Lord only knows what the Raiders are going to do.
Do you know
Raiders?
Do you know
and the over?
Do you know what the spread was on that game last week? The Chiefs were a 3.5-point favorite. They won by 14. How did they narrowly cover?
Because it was
They backdoored the 14. They were up 21.
It was close.
No, it wasn't. It was a blowout.
Well, the Jags are horrible. Who cares? I'm all on the Raiders.
Raiders are worse.
The Raiders, your favorite team in football.
Yeah. I mean, to wear their apparel. I don't think they're a good team. New Orleans Saints at the Rams. Rams are a 3-point favorite. Over-under is 53. This is the undisputed best game of the week.
This is such a good game.
I'm going Rams minus 3 and the over in a really high-scoring one, like something close to 70.
What a game.
I like the Rams.
What a game we got week two. I'm going the Saints. I don't know what I'm going to get from Todd Gurley. Who was it? Malcolm Brown got a bunch of touches. I mean, I don't know what I'm going to get. I think the Saints are now rolling. Will Lutz put him gave him the W last week. Love Drew Brees and his weapons. I think Alvin Kamara is an absolute stud. Latavius Murray was really good last week as well. Give me the Saints in the over.
I mean, we are forgetting the most important headline of this game, and that is the NFC Championship rematch, where the Saints, in an understatement, were robbed tremendously. I say they come out with firepower. They learned from their mistakes last week as they very narrowly escaped the Texans. You take the Saints. You go with the money line. You take the over. Will Lutz getting it done with the leg. Give me New Orleans.
Fuck, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I'm switching.
Revenge,
I'm switching my pick.
Revenge season.
It's the revenge match. Whenever there's a storyline like this, I'm switching my pick.
And
I'm
to do it on the road would be awesome.
I forgot
awesome.
About it. But the over for sure.
Definitely. I also want to point something out. There's a new Untuck It commercial with Drew Brees, and he pokes fun at the call. It's pretty hilarious.
What can he do?
It's unbelievable.
He was in the
and
Marines.
I know you love Untuck It.
It fits
nicely around that belly of yours.
Unbelievably.
Much better than this weird-ass Zelda shirt.
Yeah, you're not even wearing a shirt. What's wrong with you? You sit here naked and record your podcast?
It makes me aerodynamic when I fight.
Sure. You're a big fighter.
Where the fuck did you get that shirt? You look like you just came from a Hogwarts convention.
That's vintage.
This is an unbelievable t-shirt. You can't appreciate
it. What makes it unbelievable?
That I enjoy it. Wow, look. He's not only calling me fat, but he's questioning my fashion statement.
It's too big for you.
Jack
right now is wearing no shirt, bright pink pants, and what are those, orange socks? Jesus Christ.
The pants are salmon, okay? It's the new color of fall.
I believe it's chartreuse.
Jesus.
Is what is the
Christ.
Shade.
All right, we digress a bit because this is taking a very long time to get through the spreads. And apologies, next week, maybe we'll just pick a couple. But for now, we're going to keep charging on. Bears at the Broncos. Bears are a 2.5-point favorite, over under 41. Jack, who you got?
I got the Broncos in the Mile High City. That defense stands up. Put Trubisky in the dirt. Let's go Broncos.
The second snooze fest of the weekend after Niners Bengals. Bears, don't forget, they have had 10 days to prepare for this because they played in the first game, and the Broncos are on a short week traveling back from Oakland on 6 days' time. I think this is almost an absolute lock. Bears minus 2.5 and the under. I think they may shut out the Broncos altogether.
I completely agree. I think that the Chicago, I would not touch the under, but if I was picking the under 41, and the Bears win handedly. They were embarrassed Thursday night. Trubisky, as I said, really just...
If you could ever be embarrassed from a 10-3 loss, that was it.
It was really ugly. The night game, Sunday night, Eagles at Falcons. The Falcons are a home dog, folks. The Eagles are a 1.5-point favorite in Atlanta, over under 51. Jack.
As we said earlier, this Falcons team has to hit the panic button. I think this is a close one, and I think the Falcons pull this one out. I don't know how they do it, but they got the best player on the field in Julio Jones. I think they make it work. I think it's going to be a nail biter. Give me the over in an instant Sunday night classic.
I disagree, and until I see something from Dan Quinn and his god-awful schemes... give me the Eagles. Give me the Eagles, ton of points. Carson Wentz looking as good as he will ever look. They have way too many weapons. I think it's way too much for the Falcons. I think they're going to get embarrassed at home Sunday night. I'm thinking 44-14. Dan Quinn, your time is coming to an end in Atlanta.
Yeah, I was going to say, if they lose this game, Dan Quinn, I think, will be fired.
Definitely.
So I think that they're playing for him.
Everything.
I think that this Falcons team is great. And I think that they find a way to be great. They haven't looked great. There's no reason why anybody should pick them. But for whatever reason, I think that they
two of us are picking.
Yeah, I think that they, because we've seen what they can do. And they have too much firepower on offense. Home opener, 51 points. I just think that the Falcons find a way to win in the over.
Also, you're not making the playoffs in this division starting 0-2 with the Panthers and the Saints. I mean, it's just not going to happen. Nope. So
agreed.
I think everything's on the line right now for the Falcons.
Monday Night Football. This is a really great game. The Cleveland Browns are 2.5-point favorites at the new look New York Jets, over under 45. As the non-Jets fan, I'm going to steal this first. I think that the Cleveland Browns are not a great football team. I think that it's just like the Knicks when you have a franchise, and I know I always bring up the Knicks, but when you have a franchise that sucks, just because you put good players on it doesn't mean that the franchise doesn't suck. Baker Mayfield, you're trying to change culture. You're doing a great job. Gangrene, Le'Veon Bell, maybe Demaryius Thomas, fresh off a signing. Who knows? I just think that the Jets defense looked so, so good and that they find a way to win this game. And give me the under 45.
I'm so happy you said that because I believe a tweet went out like when everyone was shocked the Browns. Someone tweeted, "Don't you remember this team hasn't had a winning season since 2007?
It's insane.
Like, what are you? Yes, Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry. Okay, these are guys who are good on horrible teams. Odell Beckham with the Giants when they were in a really down time. Jarvis Landry with the Dolphins. Baker Mayfield, this could be a sophomore slump. I hope it's not the case. I don't believe it is the case for Sam Darnold and the boys. You trade for Demaryius Thomas this week. A little extra firepower. Le'Veon Bell gets his second game under his belt. I think you will see the true Le'Veon Bell come out Monday night under the lights. Jets, outright money line and the under. And a little score prediction. I say they win like 24-14.
I'm going with the Jets as well. Revenge match for these Jets, because it feels like just yesterday Baker Mayfield got his first NFL win over the Jets. I think the Jets get revenge. Adam Gase gonna dial something up. Le'Veon Bell, this is why we brought him in. He didn't miss a beat last week. I like how Darnold's looking, and I agree. Who the fuck are the Browns? They acquire a couple guys. They've got a guy rocking $250K on his wrist. Suddenly they're hot shit. Give me the New York Jets, baby. This is a Jets town when it's not a Bills town.
Yeah, I don't really know what the hype is with the Browns. It's actually crazy. I think their over-under in Vegas was like 9.5 wins.
Well, they are. And they were
pick them to win the division. Yeah. You have Baltimore and Pittsburgh in that division.
And Zach Taylor's Bengals.
By the way, I was going to say, and the Bengals. Like,
the Bengals are kind of trashy.
Who knows?
But yeah, I agree.
I'm just saying, the Browns are not a shoo-in to win the division.
And Monday night changes everything. I mean, when you're the only game, it's a little tougher to gauge, you know, who's going to come out. But I think Le'Veon Bell, this is a guy with a ton to prove. And he looked sharp last week. I mean, and the Jets defense is always really solid. So I think they're going to take it personal against Baker Mayfield.
Agreed. For those of you in our Survivor pool, and for those of you who don't know, we are running a Survivor pool this year. It's currently closed. You had to enter before the season started, but we had 298 entries. We're super excited about it. Just a reminder, in order to be eligible to win, you must subscribe to our podcast, follow us on Instagram, and rate and review the podcast. There are cash prizes. There's merch. We're having a lot of fun over here, and there are still 262 people alive from last week. There were 36 incorrect picks. Most people took Seattle.
And there was
Ravens.
One, by the way, one person took the Lions and ties advance.
You're
so
kidding.
That one person, you're still in it. Don't think you've lost.
Why do I think that ties don't lose? They advance?
I don't know. I guess the setting is just like that. But you know what? It'll be like that all year.
Ties advance. All right, good time.
Classic run your pool. But I do have to admit something, fellas. There I was sitting at my desk deciding between a couple teams, you know, week one, who am I going to go with? And I took the Denver Broncos.
Moron.
I wrote out the Broncos, and boy, did we lose. So that's kind of why I took them for this week, why I'm high on them, why I want the Broncos to turn it around. I am out of my own pool. merch for me.
The only reason
money.
I can't say it was a big pick is last week on NFL Schwitz, it was a resounding Broncos are winning this. Who cares if Antonio Brown plays or not? They've got this. They've got Vic Fangio. So we're all with you. We would have taken them as well. We just wouldn't have taken them in Survivor.
I will say, though, last week when we spoke about this, Antonio Brown was not a Patriot. It changes things for me, at least, and I think changes things for the Raiders that he's now on the Patriots. He's not just sitting on his couch not playing. I don't know. I don't know what that did to the mindset of the Raiders, but yeah, that was a fucking terrible pick.
By the way, shame on both of you because I listened to the podcast and that's where I got it. No. It was a terrible pick, but the other pick I was going to I was really deciding between the Broncos and the Lions. And wow. I felt kind of better that a tie doesn't advance, but now I'm hearing it does. Fuck my life.
You didn't just want to take a great team?
No, because I want to keep it for later.
No, but yeah, you can keep some of them for later if you advance. But speaking of keeping for later, I want us each to pick one survivor lock for this week. Victor, I'll start with you. Who are you taking in Survivor this week? And reminder, Survivor is just to win. You win or tie and you move on.
And everyone keep in mind that we are always vulnerable to the last second. Let me switch my pick because I'm not sure. But as of today, when this has come out on Thursday, I believe I'm going to be rolling with the... You know, it's funny. I thought I had this all locked up in my head and now I don't. I will take the Bears this week. Revenge win. Not revenge win. Upset win. Bounce back.
Jax.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the Houston Texans. They need this win at home. First game for a home opener. Give me J.J. Watt and the boys.
Oh, what a tough. There are a lot of tough games here, honestly. This is not a very easy week. You don't want to use too good of a team, but I'm just going to use the Baltimore Ravens. I don't know if I want them later in the year. They look great. I don't know if they are great, but they're playing great, and they're not going to lose at home to the Arizona Cardinals. So I want to advance to week three. I'm saying that the Ravens are a lock to win this week. Additionally, we have the Schwitz Fantasy Basketball. Basketball? This is football.
Did you just jump ahead 4 months?
Yeah, the Schwitz Fantasy Football League that we all drafted. There are 8 teams. I'm in it. Vic's in it, Jack's in it, a couple of brothers, a couple of brother-in-laws, and we have ourselves a league. Current standings go. Jack's brother Paul, in first last week, put up 185 points. Reminder, this is a 2QB league, so you're going to hear some slightly inflated point totals.
My parents are so proud of him.
They should be. I am in second place. I had 178 points last week. Jack, I believe you're in third?
That's correct. Joe's Shanghai Boozy Brunch.
Vic, where are you? Ninth? There are only 8 teams in the league, but...
Sadly in dead last. I lost. Let me brace you. I was down by a ton of points. I got a combined 60 points from Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins. I'm up by 2 and change. And guess what happens? Will Lutz, 50-yard, 5-point field goal.
58-yard.
50-plus yards. I think I was up by like 3 and change, and that made me lose by... I lost by 1.6. So if he hit a regular field goal, I would have been fine. But no, it had to be 50 yards. Drew Brees had to be Drew Brees. And after crawling all the way back out of a hole, I lost to our good pal in the league, Gabe. And needless to say, I'm not going to live that one down for a while. I hope it doesn't affect my boys going forward.
It's a different league, but I need to show you guys both this because I didn't yet. Last week, I lost... by 0.06 points in a different league because Tyrell Williams, he caught the ball. It was 3rd and 8 in that Denver-Oakland game, and they stopped him. They had to throw it. Tyrell Williams was called for an 11-yard catch and a catch, so it's half a point.
Yeah.
They changed it to 10 yards. I lost on a stat correction.
That is
I won, and I woke up, and I lost.
Although Jack and I have once won, I believe it was by 0.2 last year because... Amari Cooper's scoring, then Alvin Kamara like got some crazy stat. But we feel you on the losing by a fraction of a point.
Awful. But just some quick highlights so that you guys can follow along, and we're going to be posting our individual fantasy teams so that you can go with us. But the guys on my team that I'm loving right now, I have Lamar Jackson. I'm just going to name you 3 of them. I have Lamar Jackson, I have Michael Thomas, and I have Julio Jones. How am I going to lose this league? I don't know. Jack, your top 3.
You're going to lose when you run into Joe Shanghai Boozy Brunch. I got Drew Brees. Love him. Alvin Kamara, what a stud. And you know what? I'm going to give you guys a little taste of my tight end, George Kittle. Hey, Kittle.
You're forgetting about my squad.
Yeah.
Even though dead last. My three guys, the Watson-Hopkins connection, followed by Chris Carson, and I'll give you my other running back, Nick Chubb. You haven't seen the best of him yet.
Giving me
Look
a chubby.
Out for Team Slick, baby.
Wow, you went four. All right, fine. I'll throw in Dalvin Cook. My team literally eats your team for breakfast.
All right,
See
David
See this
Johnson.
Week, I'm playing you.
Ooh, Alvin Kamara and David Johnson.
And I'm projected to win by 30 points.
Yeah. Just remember that soundbite, folks, when he loses by 0.3.
You're playing against the only blind guy in the league. That's not fair.
You're going to forget to set his lineup again. That's a great matchup this week. Me versus you. Jack, who are you playing this week in fantasy?
I am playing probably one of your nine brother-in-laws.
Okay, good.
Zach, so.
Which one is it?
The one from Dallas.
Ah, Weinrub. He's from Dallas, and he decided to pick Dak Prescott, Amari Cooper, Ezekiel Elliott, all Cowboys. So that'll be a nice matchup. That is, he really just like, yep, that's my team. I'm taking them.
I love how excited you are for my matchup.
Ride or die, yeah.
Let me know if I win.
Yeah, I'll let you know if you win. Why? Are you going to be in Morocco again?
I'm thinking of doing a little world travel for the weekend around the world in 80 days. What is it, 80 hours, 80 days?
Days.
Okay.
Well, that's our show, folks. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. This is, again, an NFL-dedicated series that we're going to be doing. It's called the NFL Schwitz. We're super excited about it. This is week two. As always, you can follow us on Instagram, at The Schwitz. You can join our private Facebook group called The Schwitzers, where we constantly are debating topics day in and day out. And please make sure to rate our podcast, subscribe to our podcast, review our podcast. Really important. And thanks so much for tuning in. As always, I'm Ben at Boy With No Job.
Jack at Jack Not John.
Vic at VWeb. JETS.
Jets, Jets, Jets.
Losers.